Hello, Mr. Jonathan Davis from NHL Network Radio, one of our NHL insiders who joins us inside hockey right now. Mr. Davis, how are you?
I'm doing great, Pat. It's Friday. Gorgeous day out here. No complaints, except if I was living in your neck of the woods.
It's better than it was. At least you can walk outside and not have to go back inside 30 seconds later. So it's
no,
much
I meant
better
your hockey
than it
team,
was.
Pat. I'm sorry.
And also, yeah, I mean, the hockey team is you've wanted them to stay outside and not come back inside for quite some time. They've kind of been in the doghouse. Let's focus in on that U.S. West division, because boy, is it fascinating right now. And what I think is maybe the most fascinating part of all of this is you've got a few teams, at least three, that kind of have the same attitude right now. And why not one of these teams for a playoff spot right now? Hey,
there's no question. I mean, you know, look, Minnesota, Arizona, Los Angeles. And I think all three of those teams have that why not attitude. And I kind of got that sense from, you know, talking to some people in and around the Kings last week. And, you know, especially when you're looking at what's going on in St. Louis and just how that team just continues to be besieged by injury. You know, Colton Parayko's missed the last four games, and we believe it's a back injury. And I think there's some concern about the severity. 34 seconds into their game against Los Angeles a couple of nights ago, Marcus Scandella takes a freak. He took a puck in the face on a play that I think went bounced off a player's stick, off the boards, and into the chops. Not sure on his status yet. You know, we're still waiting for Tarasenko back on the ice. There's some thought he may return as early as tomorrow. But, you know, that lineup has had just as many guys out as he's had in, and it's opened up the door for, you know, whereas we thought three teams fighting for one spot, you know, we could be seeing three teams fighting for two spots.
Which is fascinating if all of a sudden St. Louis gets called into question when it comes to this whole thing. That makes things that much more interesting. You know, the team that is the most fascinating for me, JD, is this Los Angeles Kings team, the hottest team in the NHL. They've won six in a row. Just give us a little bit more on this six-game win streak and some of your observations.
Well, look, the goaltending has stood out. I mean, you know, Jonathan Quick and Cal Peterson have been outstanding. It's two goals or less in each of the games during the six-game win streak. I mean, the team has not trailed once in this six-game win streak. And Pat, look, I said it to you early on in the year. I mean, you know, I referred to Todd McClellan's quote that we need all 20 guys going for us to win. And that's what they've had. I mean, you know, If Calgary had the same attitude as Los Angeles, the narrative in Calgary would be a lot different. It's not a flashy team in Los Angeles. And yeah, look, Anze Kopitar leads the U.S. West Division in points. Dustin Brown leads the U.S. West Division in goals. It's unbelievable to me. But it's just a credit to the fact that they have bought into what Todd McClellan is saying, and they're having a great deal of success right now. But it's not like when you watch this team that, you know, you're dazzled by a guy like Scheifele, or you're dazzled, you know, by a Connor McDavid or a Leon Draisaitl. They're not flashy. They're just very efficient.
It's good to hear. That is good to hear. And, you know, you talked about it. They have been a hardworking team, a hard team to score against, which I guess that shouldn't be a surprise. You know, I know there have been some lean years recently, but you know, a lot of this Kings group and one of the hallmarks of this Kings team in recent years, they've always kind of been a tough team to score against, and that's been part of their MO this year.
Yeah, and they've really stuck with it, and they're scoring goals. And, you know, look, I look at the games against, you know, St. Louis had a lot of shots in that game a couple of nights back against Los Angeles, but it was one and done. And it's just a credit to the way that LA is playing right now. And so, you know, they're making it tough. But I will say, I mean, the team they're playing tonight, the Minnesota North Stars, who, you know, I think that, you know, they're a team that has always, you know, for the last couple of years, Pat, they've been like the definition of mediocrity. They've been the team in the mushy middle. But right now, they're playing some really efficient hockey. Matt Zuccarello, since he has come back to the lineup, you know, he had wrist surgery in the offseason, has been really good. I think it's four goals and 10 points during this four-game streak. And Kirill Kiprusoff is leading all rookies in scoring. And, you know, I think he's first amongst forwards in time on ice. you know, there's a lot of good stories. And then tonight they get Cam Talbot back, and Kaapo Kakkonen has played really well for them.
And then there's Arizona. Give us the latest, first of all, in terms of their goaltending situation.
Well, yeah. So Darcy Kuemper is out for tonight's game against Colorado. Aiden Hill, who came in relief of Kuemper in their game a couple of nights ago against Anaheim when they were down, the Coyotes were down 3-0. That was his first appearance, Pat, I think in like 380 days in an actual game. And so he came in, you know, did well in relief. But Kuemper is will not even be the backup tonight. That'll be Antti Raanta, who's been dealing with injury. So, you know, they need Kuemper. They also need more games against the Anaheim Ducks, because that was just, I mean, from an Anaheim perspective, Pat, I mean, the two games this week, you know, up 3-0 in the first period, up 3-0 after 40 in the second period a couple of nights ago,
yep,
and to lose both games 4-3, you know, that's just, it's crushing. I mean, the one bright spot for Anaheim, we got to see Trevor Zegras. And while he doesn't have a point yet, he scored a beauty goal in the shootout and just kind of gives you, you know, a sign of what there is to come with Trevor Zegras.
Yeah, and I do, because, I mean, you're right. The Ducks' losses have been disastrous. On the other hand, they've been real nice, motivating and momentum builders for the Arizona Coyotes. We've talked about Kessel, Garland, and Keller as a line before, and they just continue to put up points, hey?
Well, yeah. Now, it's been Garland, Schmaltz, and Keller for the most part. But
that's right. We've talked about Schmaltz on that line. That's right. But Kessel's also putting up some points on top of that.
Oh my God. And he benefited, you know, he scored the winning goal in the game on Wednesday night. God, the days are blending in, Pat. It's getting kind of scary, on a beautiful setup by Connor Garland. But yeah, you know, look, the pressure's been taken off of Phil to score, because the other, you know, the guy, you know, Kessel or Garland and Keller have been doing such a really good job this year, and it's definitely taken a load off of Phil to be the guy to have to produce.
Which is good. Jonathan Davis is with us, our NHL Network insider. Join him on NHL Network Radio post-game on the ice cap, and he always fills us in as to what's happening in the U.S. West Division. You kind of give us a little bit of a teaser there on Trevor Zegras. Give us a little bit more in terms of your observations about Zegras, the NHLer now.
Well, you know, he's played two games. You know, in the first game, he played about 13 minutes, and there was speculation, you know, that, you know, he played 2 minutes in the second period, and there was some speculation that he got benched. But in making some calls to people who cover this team, you know, a little closer than I do on the nights that I'm watching, you know, eight or nine games, because I was a little concerned that why is he only playing 2 minutes? What's Dallas Eakins doing? But they just didn't put him on the ice for defensive zone draws. They're trying to put him in the best situations to succeed. He basically split a lot of time in those 13 minutes between power play and 5-on-5. So, you know, we're seeing flashes of what this guy can do as a distributor. It's exciting, but, you know, I credit the Ducks in their, you know, they're trying to put him in the best situation to succeed.
Yeah, and that's probably fair, especially when your team is struggling. You might as well not hang him out to dry. And one of the reasons why the Ducks have succeeded is that they were led for the longest time by a core group that featured Ryan Getzlaf, who's still there, and Corey Perry, who is no longer there anymore. Well, I think we're starting to learn that maybe the next Getzlaf and Perry don't exist on that team.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that this team would have hoped that, you know, that they would have seen more from, you know, from Rickard Rakell and Jakob Silverberg. And unfortunately, you know, that hasn't happened yet. And both guys, you know, off seasons last year, and it really hasn't been, you know, much different this year for the two of them. I mean, Silverberg, you know, he's got 4 goals and 8 points in 20 games, and Rakell's got 1 goal in 20 games. And so, you know, they're being led by Max Comtois with 8. That's where, you know, Rickard Rakell for sure should be closer to that number. You know, Silverberg's a guy that, you know, has produced offense for this team in the past. He had 21 in, you know, last year. He had 24 the season before. 4 goals. You know, we're projecting to be what, That's like 12 goals for a 56-game season. It's just not, you know, that's just not where he should be.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Davis with us from NHL Network Radio as we take a deep dive on the West Division south of the border. Let's finish in California with a struggling San Jose team.
Yeah, I mean, it's rough times. Look, there's no question. I really think that, you know, San Jose is a team that is probably, you know, closer to having to try to blow things, not, I don't know, blow things up, but they're closer to having to rebuild and try to stockpile draft picks than there are a team that can challenge. And the you know, the conundrum that they face is that, you know, Logan Couture has been really good for them. I mean, it's been a very strong year for him, but they're just not getting enough for Meyer and Hurdle. And Eric Karlsson's had a very down year. He's hurt, you know, he's hurt again. They say it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, his past injuries, but he's out right now and he hasn't been very good for the most part this season. And, you know, I've said to you before, I watched it, you know, and I've seen games this year, especially with Burns and Karlsson, where they just don't seem, you know, it looks like almost beer league hockey for them. I think that there just doesn't seem to be that same motivation. I think that there's a, you know, they're playing like a team that they understand that the playoffs are not in sight for them. And that's an observation from afar. It's not something, you know, that someone has told me directly, but there is no question that the people I do talk to in San Jose are just saying, look, this is a team that is in trouble. Goaltending hasn't been great. Martin Jones had some, you know, had a rough night a couple of nights ago. Some were just, you know, kind of like what the Calgary goalies have seen in pucks going off or player skates and sticks. But it's, you know, at the end of the day, this Sharks team is not a team that is challenging, you know, for a playoff spot this year.
And let's finish in Vegas. And let's start with some interesting comments from owner Bill Foley on the future of goalie Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to hear Foley talk in a recent interview about the fact that, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury ain't going anywhere. And this is a guy that, you know, he said that he will retire as a Vegas Golden Knight. And, you know, look, they explored, there were talks, you know, calls were made, but at the end of the day, he's assured him that he will finish his career in Vegas.
Interesting. And that's a little bit different than the narrative that we heard in the off season. Hey, cause that was all the rage was Fleury trade talk.
Absolutely. And look, I'm sure. Look, you're going to make calls, and you're going to make calls. But at the end of the day, whatever transpired, you know, that's the way Bill Foley feels. And look, I understand. This is the guy that was the face of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, look, as we sit here today, I mean, where would the Vegas Golden Knights be without Marc-Andre Fleury this year?
Yep, it's no kidding. Like, he's been unbelievable. Another resurgence, another bounce back from Marc-Andre Fleury, and I guess we probably shouldn't be surprised. A bit of a closer look at this Golden Knights team. They haven't played since Monday. It's been a weird month for them in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, it has. It's been a lot of stops, you know, some stops and starts. You know, their game canceled or postponed against San Jose earlier in the week after, you know, you had, Thomas Hertl had the, you know, came down with COVID. And I think there was some concern that it was going to be a little more widespread. But, you know, you look at the four games that they had against the Colorado Avalanche and there was a split there. And it was interesting just to see, you know, how those games shook out. I mean, you know, you had a couple of shutouts. But what I really liked, you know, from, oh, wait, actually was a three, was it ended up being 3-1? I'm trying to think now. Now that I'm thinking. God, Pat, I'm so sorry. The games have escaped me. But their last game against
I feel you, JD. Things blend together for me these days.
But their last game against Colorado was a game that they won and a game that, you know, after the outdoor game, you know, what there was some concern that Pete DeBoer saw with his line not being able to handle the speed of the Avalanche. And then they juggled their lines. They moved Alex Tuck up to the top line. They wanted him to take advantage of his speed. And all he did was score two goals in that last game against Colorado in a 3-0 victory. And so, I, you know, at the end of the day, what we're seeing from Colorado and Vegas when they play each other, it's a lot different than what we see, you know, I think when these teams play some of the other opponents in the U.S. West Division. It's been really good hockey. There are two teams that I think are very evenly matched. But I think, you know, from Vegas' standpoint, they're starting to learn some things about themselves. And I think, you know, the one concern, though, Pat, for Colorado right now is that other than MacKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog, you know, they're a team that really should, that at least on paper, is deep throughout their top 12 forwards. They're just not getting enough production from the forward group.
Sounds similar to what we've heard in this city of late.
rinse and repeat?
Kind of very much rinse and repeat. Great stuff, JD. It is always a pleasure, my friend. Have a great rest of your weekend. I know it'll be spent mostly watching hockey, which is wonderful. So enjoy. Have some good post-game shows. And we'll talk to you next week back at our regular time.
Dude, you've got the best gig in the world right now with your post-game shows. The conversation that is absolutely exhilarating. It's fun to listen to. I will tell you, when a team is losing, to hear those callers, oh, it's great.
it's entertaining. I'll say that much. Be well, JD. We'll talk next week.
All right, bud. Take care.